Hey folks, Stan Frew here with your opening bell for June 5th, 2025. So it is all about jobs, jobs, and more jobs, or maybe less jobs. So yesterday's market, we saw a nice little reprieve in mortgage rates. They dropped down about 9 ticks across the board up through there. And it was all based on the ADP payroll numbers. They came in dismal. Well, I don't like the ADP payroll numbers, as you guys know. So what I focus in on is the data that we're going to get today and tomorrow. So the data we're seeing right now is continued jobless claims, initial jobless claims, non-farm payroll productivity, and the trade gap. So what I want to explain to you is how all those things affect these things over here and how the markets react to it. So let's get over to Rick Santelli. He's at the CME Mercantile Exchange. He's going to explain to us how these numbers that just came in will affect the bond market, interest rates, and the equity markets as well. So Rick, take it away for me, buddy.
Rick Santelli here live at CME HQ with the breaking news on this Friday Eve on the trade balance. And do remember, last week's advance.
He said Friday. I had to listen to that twice. When he said Friday Eve, I'm like, and that means Thursday. Duh.
Only included goods. This one includes goods and services. Comes in at minus $61.6 billion. That's about $5 billion less than we were expecting in terms of the deficit. But it does follow a revised $138 billion with a minus sign that was $140 billion. And that, of course, was an all-time record trade balance of goods and services. And as you can see, it has now been cut by more than half. And the big drop in imports seems to be where everyone's pointing. The big news there is how much it bolsters GDP. Just look at Atlanta Fed GDP now, which is at 4.64%. Non-farm productivity comes in much more negative than we were expecting. We were looking for a number that was down somewhat less than 1%. This is minus 1.5%. That would be the worst productivity going all the way back to, the second quarter of 22 when it was minus 3.3%. And here's something interesting. Everybody knows that it's the special sauce of the economy, but consider this. In the four quarters preceding COVID, productivity averaged 3.5%. With this current number at minus 1.5, before that, when this is the final read, when it was minus 0.8, the four quarter average came in at 1.5%, a full 2% less productivity than we had pre-COVID. That's something to pay attention to. Unit labor cost, 6.6%, a little higher than we are expecting, the highest since the first quarter of 24. On initial jobless claims, up 8,000 from 239,000 to 247,000. We still haven't been over 250 since October of 24, but we are inching up very close to it. That's what comps on this 247,000, by the way. And on continuing claims, we remain this is the second consecutive month, over 1.9 million, 1,904,000. So we've had two consecutives. We've had three readings. One of them was canceled, but this all comps to back to November of 2021. So even though we could still say well-behaved on claims, it's not as well-behaved. Interest rates, well, they're moving down just a smidge. The ECB cut, that put a little pressure on the rate structure. Yesterday, we closed twos and tens at the lowest yield since the 7th of last month. Joe, back to you.
Okay, we're going to keep it here for a second because they start talking about the GDP and some other numbers like that. That's very interesting. I'm going to show you how the GDP, if it increases, how that makes the deficit look a little better. I still am going to be a deficit hawk, but I want you to understand this piece of it. So I'm going to play a little bit more of this so you understand how the deficit plays a role in the GDP and all those other intricate numbers, because the goal here is to help you guys understand these things. So let's get back to it.
I don't have Truth Social. Rick, but I'm expecting some, we might get something.
I don't have any social media. My life is uncomplicated.
I know you don't. But when the ECB cuts and then these rates are coming down and we're going to see a too late pal, tweet or what do you call a social media post? It's not a tweet, is it? A tweet's not, Twitter's not
no.
Twitter.
Rick. So now the dilemma is going to be, is the Fed too late? like on cutting, like they were too late, I think, on pushing up rates. So this is where the discussion goes, and then they kind of dig down into the GDP, which I want you guys to understand.
That Atlanta Fed number is crazy. So it's the end of July. Our next guest clued me in on that. There's a lot that can happen between now and the end of July. What would the president say if he got a close to a 5 print on GDP? He'd go nuts.
Oh, yeah, he would. But see, here's the issue. And this is going to be an issue for this administration. You want the economy to hum along. You want it to do better. And with the import dropping the way it did, pushing GDP up, there's a lot of moving parts, actually, to how much is going to come through. But let's say he gets a very wild, strong print. That's going to make it much more difficult for the Fed to lower rates. And we know he wants the Fed to lower rates. He stressed how many times the ECB has already cut. And in this instance, I'm not sure I can agree with the administration in its entirety. I'm more in agreement with the Fed. Oh, my God, did I actually say that? I'm not all that fond of a quick cut. I think that there's aspects of the economy that are doing well. We're still looking at equity prices that have been quite resilient. You know, the equity markets have been so much smarter than the analysts. I'm just thinking that I agree with Powell. I don't know that we need to be in a hurry. However, I do think some of the inflation pressures are going down. And if everybody recalls, before this administration was in power, what did I always say about inflation? That we screwed up our energy, we screwed up with EVs, we made a double standard that was taking away from both sides, and there's going to be an underpinning of inflation in the energy sector. Well, this administration is negating that, and kudos to them. And I think that that is potentially an outlier to get this much closer to the Fed's 2% level. So right. Powell, as he kind of finishes up his term, is going to have quite a complicated process right. to deal with.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to agree with him, and I've been telling you all along, I'm also agreeing with Powell. I'm waiting for these tariffs, whatever they're ending up to be, to actually pull through so then I can make my judgment call from there. So Rick and I are on basically the same page there. Let's get over to the economic calendar and just go through this real quick with you. So here's what I want. I want you to visually see the numbers. So they're not as bad as a lot of people, you know, especially as the ADP numbers looked. Continued jobless claims, we went from 1.9 to 1.9 to 1.9. So continued jobless claims aren't really, there's, you know, they're steady there. Here's the initial jobless claims. We went from 240. It was estimated to come in at 236, and I know I'm rounding a little bit, to 247. So this is also not a huge miss. Here's where he was saying the trade gap went from a negative 138 to, it was supposed to come in at negative 67, came in at negative 65. That's going to help the GDP numbers and kind of make some numbers look okay, and we're going to fill those numbers in right through here. So here's what they were talking about. Here's what the Federal Reserve monitors to control this rate. They control the federal funds rate. Well, had inflation coming in, and it just, the number just came in recently, and it dropped all the way down to 2.1. This is the number the Federal wants at 2. We had unemployment claims. They're going to come in tomorrow, so we're going to see that. There's no expectations of this rising. Now, this negative 0.2 on GDP is now supposed to go way positive, so that could be a nice catalyst for the markets right through here. So if we go over to the equity markets right across the board, that's red all the way across the board, not huge moves. We have the Dow Jones down 122, NASDAQ down 22. The VIX is up just a tad at 2%, but this is producing a nice little rally in the bond market. So when I got up this morning, I logged in right when the number came out, the employment numbers, and it spiked up. It was up nicely, up about 12, 13, 14 ticks. It gave all that back, and now it's starting to try to rally back again. But I'm still a proponent of let's keep this going on. I'm a chartist, so as long as this chart keeps going up, 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 and up, I'm okay just floating people. And again, if you ever watch some of my videos, the best rate to get is when you can lock in 30 days or less. So try to lock in as soon as you're right at 30 days or less. That'll give you the best pricing. So right now, here's what we're seeing. Again, as this chart goes up, that means mortgage rates are coming down. A nice little reprieve that we've had over the last 2 days or last 5 days. It was steady, and then it was up, up, away so far this week. So that's what we're seeing in the markets right now. Tomorrow, the economic news that we have is right through here. Let's go down below. Friday, we're going to have average hourly earnings, non-farm payroll, participation rate, and all the factors down through here. Even the unemployment rate They're expecting it to stay at 4.2%. So that's good news for us right there, but we'll also monitor what the GDP comes in at to fill in the rest of the gaps for the Fed right through here. So tomorrow's data that we get is going to conclude, fill in this blank, and then we're just waiting for this blank to come in as well. So that's what we're seeing right across the board in the equity markets. Really no news here. Still, China and the U.S. are still trying to figure out a plan what they're going to do there. But overall, the news that we had today on the employment side wasn't as bleak as a lot of people were expecting. So far, we are in a good market. The MBSs are up 3. That means mortgage rates aren't really going to do anything today. So if this news isn't a catalyst so far today, tomorrow's news hopefully will be. But I'll be back at the closing bell to let you guys know how all this ends for the day. But let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. What does that mean, really? Well, I work at a federal bank. That's what it means. So I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. Cool thing here is we're set up with 33 other lenders. What does that mean for you guys? Well, it means if you put in your application here, our slogan is one application, one credit pool, we're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. How do we do that? Well, we set up ourselves with 32 other lenders. I'll correct that. We have 3,200 lenders plus our bank. So that equals 33 lenders. When you put in your application right through here, that's where I'm going to get my rates from. So if you can beat 33 lenders' rates, God bless you. But we're here to try to help those out there that really need help. If you're in that process, you're like, I never bought a house. I'd really love to buy a house. How do I do it? We'd love to help you. Same thing with refinancing. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't know how, when, and even the process of refinancing. And just one piece of information there, it's a fraction of the cost when you go to refinance than it was when you go to purchase. So just a little tidbit there. So it's not as expensive to refinance. So even if rates go down, you know, 0.25%, reach out to us. We'd love to run the numbers for you to see if it'll help you out and save you some money. So thanks for watching today, folks. If you want to reach out to me and our team, just go to therateupdate.com. There's a whole bunch of tabs up through here. Our phone number's right here. You can actually ask me a question right in here. We put a new tab in there for that. You can schedule appointments. You can schedule consultation calls, and you can even start your applications right through here. So that's our website. If you're a homeowner right now, we have a rate watch tool. So don't miss out. Next time rates come down and you're like, okay, I missed the last 2 or 3 times rates eased that I could have refinanced. Well, don't miss it again, because we have a rate watch tool that'll put all that burden on me. You're going to give me in your ear information what you're looking for in rate. As soon as the rate hits that, we'll reach out to you, get you locked in, and get that refinance started. So thanks for watching. I'll be back at the closing bell to let you know how this mess ends for the day. Have a great one. See you next time. Bye-bye.